Oh, yes. Everybody was, really. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Everybody worked pretty hard at it. As a matter of fact, the most undying impression I have of the court is something that happened, I think, the first month or so I was on the court. We were at the end. We were holding court through court in quarterly terms at that time. And that time we would have hearings once a quarter for usually a couple of weeks at a time. And we came to an end of the hearing session, which was about, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And there was something that was brought up, and boy, we were all tired. We'd been listening to, 6-7 arguments a day, 5 days a week, for 2 weeks, for 10 days, and we were all wanting to go back home and get out of there. We were just tired. Mm-hmm. And George Edwards had not left the court at that time, so it had to be before the end of 1961. And he said, "I'll wait just a minute." He said, "I don't think we should leave until we decide this." And he was insistent that we take this matter up, even though we were tired, and make a judgment about it before we left. And he was so insistent, everybody who was getting up to leave sat back down, sort of resignedly, and took up the matter late in the afternoon or early evening. Spent another half hour or so that we would not have spent at that time resolving the matter.
Now, you also served with Paul Adams and Thomas Matthew Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I think, and Michael Hare.
And Michael Hare, yeah.
Well, Thomas Matthew had, I guess I would call, the instinct for justice. He had a feel for things. Tom could read the facts of a case and pretty much tell from the way things were arrayed as to what he thought was just or unjust about a situation. His bias, if you will, was in favor of the little guy. And I think he came by it honestly, and I think he was pretty consistent in his approach to it. In the great contest between man versus man and man versus institutions, I think Kavanaugh felt most keenly about the little guy, about him getting hurt in the melee and not being able to get justice. And I think he was very sensitive to that.
How long did you serve with Mike O'Hara? He came on toward the end, did he?
Now, Mike was in that election of 62, running against Paul Adams, and he defeated Paul in the spring election of, no, the fall election of 62, and therefore he unseated Adams. Mike came on the court first of 63, which was about, 14 months after I arrived there, and he moved from the nominee Michigan, where he lived, down to Detroit, and he moved in the same neighborhood that I lived in. I had moved into just a little, about a year earlier, and we became neighbors and good friends and discussers. We'd be arguing when we left the chambers of the court. We'd go home in our separate vehicles, and I'd stop by very often by his place because it was on the way to my home. And when I stopped in for an hour or so, and we continued the discussion very often. Mike had the fine balance between what people call the liberal and the conservative philosophies. And he loved to write. Mike really loved language. He loved the sound of words and the
embellishment. Word.
Yes, and he liked to put his Irish soul into the opinions, and he did. If you read his stuff, it's poetic to some extent. It's a lyrical and poetic kind of opinions.
Now, Paul Adams, how about Paul?
Paul, as everybody knows, is reserved gentleman. He is reserved in personal habits. He is reserved in matters legal. As I said before, I think that Paul and I probably were close to the center of the court philosophically. We arrived by different routes. I was just cautious. I think that Paul, by nature, was reserved and probably philosophically moderately conservative or moderate liberal, whatever you want to call it.
What can you tell me about the fact that, or about the report, let's call it that, when that he was kept from one of those vacancies on the court because he, as Attorney General, had been unfriendly toward the Shoal apportionment initiative. Do you have any knowledge of that?
No. I know that from everything that was said around there, that Paul was interested in going to the court, from what was clear from the Williams days and I'm sure from the Swainson days as well. Paul, of course, took the place of Thomas M. Cavanaugh when he sued that, right?